The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here in the studio live after episode number 11 of Survivor Ghost Island, a double tribal council, and a lot to talk about here tonight. And Stephen Fishback is unable to join us live, but we've got a great guest with me here tonight in the studio. Check it out, everybody. I'm very happy to bring back my great friend and the creator of a fake immunity idol seen on tonight's episode. David Wright is here with me in the studio. David, how are you?
Doing well and honored to be filling in for Fishback.
Yes, well, it is an honor to have you here. So excited that this worked out tonight. And I had no idea that we were going to have you here, be lucky enough to have you here on a night that your immunity idol was going to be seen in the episode. So this is a huge night for you.
Yeah, this is really exciting. I got to be on TV again briefly.
Yeah, so this is great. You were on TV and now you're here on the internet.
That's right.
So much happening here in one night. Of course, we are going to be taking your questions here live tonight, hashtag RHAP. So go ahead and send those in to us. And of course, we've got the chat room going here on robhiswebsite.com. Busy couple of days coming up here, David, on the podcast. We're going to have double exit interview coming up on tomorrow morning. Jenna did not get final words in the episode, only Michael. We will talk to both of them on the exit interview podcast coming up on Thursday morning. And then Tyson Apostle will join me on the recap this week. Very excited to catch up with Tyson about Survivor. And of course, on the weekend, we got our feedback show coming up. Rourke Luskin will be sitting exactly where you are coming up on the feedback show.
Oh, fantastic.
This week. So a great week of podcasts here. And we kick it off here with you tonight. David Wright, how have you been?
I've been great. And I have to say, I love these new digs. Last time people made fun of me that I look like your ventriloquist dummy. So
yes,
this is much better. I like the setup.
Good, good. I want you to be comfortable. And I'm glad to have you here. And we'll get into all that. We just watched the episode a couple of minutes ago. And it was a great pleasure to get to watch the episode. But I'm always tempted to talk to the person who's here about the episodes. I don't want to waste the gold.
No, sure. No, don't waste the gold.
Don't waste the gold. But now we're here. But before we, I mean, outside of Survivor, everything's good.
Things are doing great. Things are going great. Yeah, very, very well, actually. And I've got a Brett LaBelle's lobster hat I'm wearing.
LaBelle's lobster hat.
A lot of people don't know that he knits these himself. So
he knits them. Yeah. All right. Well, David, I guess let's talk about this big twist tonight. And I had talked with Josh Wigler. We saw the commercial and they talked about how, hey, this week on Survivor, we're going to have two separate tribal councils. And then we're also going to have two immunity necklaces. And we were trying to figure out the way they could do that. We said, well, this is sort of the lame way that they could do it would be sort of like the yada yada, where let's vote somebody out. And now, okay, let's vote somebody out again and sort of like fast forward the pagonging, or we could get a little more creative and go back to, we're in Fiji, why not pull out the Michelle Yee, where Michelle Yee got screwed. A lot of people didn't like it at the time, but I said, hey, I think this would be a lot of fun to do this because you have a couple different things. If you're one of these Malolo people, I kind of feel like, hey, I think I'd rather take my chances with that as opposed to have two tribal councils back to back. Or you also have the opportunity that you have so many advantages and idols in the game. I feel like that this would be like a good, like mini advantage get in because you could sort of like shake every, like if you're in a tribal council of five people, all of a sudden, I think a lot of people would play their idols and advantages. And it didn't exactly work out like I predicted. We did see an idol and an advantage come off the board tonight. So interesting stuff, but I like the idea from production. I thought they did it. They pulled this out at the right time. It was the right thing to try, but I think that the show got extraordinarily unlucky with the tribes that were drawn, the groupings of five, where you had everybody that we care about in one group and almost everybody that we don't care about in the other group.
Yeah, it was big edit versus small edit, basically. Yeah,
it was a JV tribal council and then varsity tribal council.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
The intercontinental title on the undercard, and then we had the heavyweight title.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, this was technically, what, like a third swap then, I guess? For the season?
Yes, kind of. It was like an unswap.
Yeah, an unswap, sure.
And
sure.
So it had it broken down where Dominic was on one side and Wendell was on one side, and where it was just like that. No, it was like Dominic and Wendell. It was like the worst possible draw that there could have been for Michael.
So strange that it went that way. Yeah, poor Michael. Oh, we barely knew him.
Poor Michael. And then he almost came out of it.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of things, it was just so vanilla cut and dry, and you thought that maybe there was going to be a possibility where Jenna was going to have Donathan play the idol for her, but they didn't. So I guess let's start with the main event, and let's start with the heavyweight championship and that tribal council where Michael went out. Did you feel like that he had done enough to potentially flip it around?
I mean, you know, he did everything he could. I mean, although I will say, I mean, aside from trying to flip it around, I didn't see him go hunting for an immunity idol. Maybe he did. Maybe we'll find out about that, or you'll find out about that tomorrow. But I mean, you know, he tried to appeal to Donathan to get him to give him his idol. That didn't work. I thought he did as much as he could do in the unfortunate spot that he was in.
I've been a big fan of Kellen's game up until we got to last week's episode. And I thought this was the second week in a row that she had a really rough episode. She just got completely spun around.
Yeah.
Panic City, like me with the Mets right now, about Michael with the hidden immunity idol. And Dominic tried to say to her, like, I don't think he's got anything. I don't know. I think he's bluffing.
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what I don't understand is why she did not insist that he show her the idol that he allegedly had, because it's just an easy thing to do. I mean, what's the downside of it? But I think, you know, I think she's just got really paranoid, and I've been there. I know what that's like. And yeah, she just got caught up in it.
Yeah, it made some sense at Tribal Council where Dominic was sort of like, hey, if he's got the idol, then why not take it out? And they got into a little bit of a discussion about, well, what would be the sense in showing it to you here at Tribal Council? Like, maybe I have it, maybe I don't. You're going to vote for me either way. So I kind of got that. But at the point where he's coming to Kellen and saying, hey, I have the idol, and I feel like that she should say to him, like, well, then show it to me. And when he's like, I can't, I don't want to, like, then why are you telling me about it?
Yeah.
Why tell me and then not show it to me?
Yeah, 100%. And especially where we are at with this season, you know, we saw Jacob go home. He had a fake idol, but he says the idol, and he had no rules to back it up. You need to see the idol, and you need to see the rules that come with it. Otherwise, no one's going to believe it.
Yeah. And then the whole thing really started to snowball where Laurel was like, okay, well, I need Dominic and Wendell to protect me because I need them to vote out Kellen tonight, which now maybe that would have been a good thing for Laurel's game, I think, to have Kellen go out of the game because she's sort of like this big key figure in the Navidi group in terms of Navidi staying strong. So that would have been a good thing. But I'm not sure that was necessarily what Laurel was thinking. I think that Laurel was sort of like, okay, well, now it's going to be me that gets voted out. I was a little unclear. Why not for Laurel? Why doesn't she tell Dominic and Wendell, like, no, Donathan has the idol. I was with them. They found it the other day.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. Maybe she's trying to, like, preserve, because I think she's got like a lot of good relationships on both sides. She can sort of toggle back and forth, and maybe she's trying to preserve whatever trust she thinks she might have.
Malolo's done. There's no Malolo. After
that's true.
Donathan and Laurel. So
yeah.
Unless that she feels like, hey, that immunity idol is going to be what we need to spring Dominic or Wendell out of the game. I don't know why she, like, it seemed like that she held all of the cards in terms of, like, she's the only person in the game that knows where all the idols are.
Yeah, that's right.
And so she knows Dominic has an idol. She knows Wendell has an idol. She knows Donathan has an idol. Nobody else knows all three of those things.
Yeah, maybe there's just like too much information swimming in her head. And she's a little like a deer in headlights, afraid to make a move, afraid to do something big and risk blowing up whatever relationship she thinks that she has.
because if she had faith in Dominic and Wendell, I don't know why she couldn't have at least like tried to steer them into, guys, trust me, we're taking out Michael tonight.
Yeah. And now we saw before earlier, the trust had seemed to wane a little bit with her and Wendell. But I think that's since been reversed. But yeah, she was in a good spot, but good for her. She's still here.
I mean, unless he didn't go to Ghost Island, that he had an idol, he played it, that idol went back into circulation. She knew where that idol went. So it wasn't like that another idol had been hidden. I mean, she knows how many idols are in the game. It would be almost unthinkable that there would be a fourth idol that'd be re-hidden. I mean, I guess it's Advantage Island at this point. Yeah. So,
well, how many were there in Game Changers, that one tribal?
There were where Suri went out, I believe that three idols got played.
Okay.
And that it was Ty played one for himself, played one for Aubrey, and then Troyzan played one, and Brad had immunity.
Yeah.
I think that's what, and Sarah had the legacy advantage.
Gotcha. Okay, so maybe that's our limit.
Yeah. I don't know if we have more than three ever in the game.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
It's a lot. So for Laurel, I just, that she seemed like she was getting very paranoid about what was going on. It seemed like that she had the information to, at least, even if she didn't want to say, like, trust me, guys, I've been with Michael, I'm part of Malolo, he does not have an idol, he's bluffing, he has, his back is against the wall. And so he really, you know, spun Kellen out. And then the thing that they didn't know, the one advantage that Laurel didn't know about, was that Kellen had these double votes.
Yeah.
And so, all right, so Kellen's like, hey, I'm putting two votes on Laurel tonight because I got to, you know, protect myself if Michael's going to play the idol. I got to go ahead. If he's going to, I don't know if Michael said I'm going to put a vote on Kellen. I don't know why she was so paranoid that she was going to be the person voted out. Maybe she felt that Laurel might be putting a vote on her. But how then does Michael put his vote on Wendell? It almost, that doesn't make sense. It seemed like that Kellen and Michael were on the same page going into that tribal council.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. I said, okay, Kellen's playing her vote advantage. This is it for Laurel.
Yeah.
And then it was Michael voted for Wendell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I can't wait to hear how that all came about, how that went down, but it was odd.
Yeah, it was almost like, did Laurel and Michael have a conversation then where it's like, hey, we're still Malolo strong, what are you doing? Hey, you're voting for Wendell, I'm voting for Wendell. So either Laurel made a great play and we didn't see it, or Kellen didn't trust Michael enough, but she was trusting him enough that he had an idol.
Yeah,
it just seems it seems weird to me that Michael and Kellen didn't end up on the same page.
It is odd. It really is. Yeah, I mean, but again, you know, she was very paranoid. We saw some at tribal conversations happening, some whispers, who knows what was going on there. But yeah. I'll be very curious to hear what Michael has to say.
And again, what we know is that that Laurel is with Dominic and Wendell, but Michael doesn't know that. So I guess Michael is thinking, okay, Laurel is my friend, Laurel's my ally, can't vote her out. But in the same way that we saw Jenna willing to turn on Donathan, I guess Michael wasn't willing to turn on a Malolo.
Perhaps he thought he was doing some kind of jury management or something there. I don't know. Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah. So that was definitely very interesting. There was a point in that tribal council where Dominic and Wendell start to whisper to each other. And I felt like, okay, something's happening.
Yeah.
Things are changing and they're having a huddle and they're talking, but we never found out what they said.
No, we have no idea.
What do you think they were saying to each other?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a really great question. It seemed like they went in with such a solid plan, and I don't know what really changed for them at that tribal that made them feel like they had to.
It seemed like nothing changed.
Yeah.
They did not go in a different direction. And then that conversation that they had, I felt like that really alienated Kellen.
It did. It did. And especially if you're saying that, like, oh, we're a strong three or we're tight. Yeah, it really seemed to put her on the bottom, which, I mean, she was already, but this really like highlights it even more.
Whatever those guys said to each other, I think they should have then followed that up with going to Kellen and saying, hey, stick to the plan. It's just so, okay, the vote is the same, you know.
Yeah.
It was almost like that they, you know, next week it seems like that she's, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
She's not happy.
No.
And it just felt like they really drove a wedge to her. And they don't know what she has. I mean, she had something from, she's been to Ghost Island a couple of times. They don't know necessarily if she has something in her pocket where, you know, that could be a problem down the road.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a bad look from those guys at Tribal Council.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact is, though, I'm shocked that that Dominic and Wendell, people have let them get as far as they have, because I think they are such an obvious power pair. And other than obviously the you know, Malolo people trying to get rid of them. And I guess actually we did see on the bottom of Navidi, people tried to make moves. But like, they're just too powerful. You got to get rid of them. And now Kellen, she's got to be out for blood now. She does feel like, as you said, that they've shown her where she stands.
The question is going to be, what does she have left? Aware that, okay, Dominic and Wendell, they have Laurel and Donathan. At this point, it's now down to 8 people, where Laurel needs to now have get everybody else. Where can she in this next week get
Chelsea,
Sebastian, yeah, Chelsea, and Angela all to vote with her against potentially Dominic and Wendell? And then will those guys be able to convince her? No, oh, we're voting out Donathan this time around.
Yeah,
that's the plan. And will she see it coming? And basically, she has been off her game for a while now. She's been just like completely spun around.
I mean, it's maddening when you get to this point in the game. You know, you're almost coming up to the finish line, and you're not sure. Like, do I really trust these people? Do they really trust me? It's maddening. So yeah, and I think that's what she's going through right now.
Yeah, this was not great.
No,
this was not great for her. I also thought it was interesting in the beginning of the episode, talking about all of these same people, where Dominic came to Laurel and was like, "Oh, you saved us, you
really give me a hug."
And I thought that was even awkward to have that conversation in front of Kellen. I felt like that was also driving away, because Kellen was the one that was wrong about all that stuff. But it wasn't like Kellen saying to Laurel, like, it just felt like that she seemed like a third wheel in that conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because it looked to me as if Kellen and Laurel were sitting there together at the fire having a conversation, and that Dominic came up to it. So I'm not sure, you know, obviously what was said before that, but yeah, Kellen is looking more and more on the outs lately, and deservedly, because it seems like she is.
Yeah. Now, Dominic in this episode found your fake idol from Millennials versus Gen X. Were you pumped up to see that tonight?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, I haven't seen the thing in 2 years, so it's good to see it again. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Did they find a new coconut to put your fake idol in? Was that a stunt coconut?
That's a stunt coconut, because the emblem on it is a Ghost Island emblem, and way better than the crappy little pink triangle, mm-hmm, blurry triangle that I painted on my coconut. So yeah, that's a new coconut. But
do you feel like that Dominic missed the opportunity to use this fake idol to somehow give it off to Michael, or to get Michael to accept it, which could have maybe been some evidence that he didn't have a real idol?
Yeah, I was really shocked that actually we didn't see anybody find it, especially when everybody's scrambling and there's going to be 2 tribals. And like, where's there's got to be an idol around here somewhere. But so yeah, and yeah, he could have like planted it for Michael, and then Michael feels confident, and then you get another fun TV moment. He plays it and it doesn't work.
Should the fake idol, do you know, could you tell, did it come with a real note? Like, it comes with a fake note. Now, when you hid that, from what I understand in season 33, that you took a note from one of the real idols that you found and put that with the fake idol that you made. And that's one of the reasons why, aside from being a work of art, as Jeff pointed out, that it was so convincing, was because it had a real note with it.
Yes.
Does this fake idol include a real note or a forgery note?
It didn't have enough screen time to tell. I know that Jay has the actual note. He kept that for himself. Mm-hmm. So, but it's possibly that they reproduced it and made another one. But you need the note. You need the note.
Yeah. Is this the first time that Survivor has handed out a fake idol to somebody and said, here you go, here's a forged idol for you?
Well, I mean, we did have the stick earlier, but then that had power, so I guess that kind of doesn't count.
Right. Chrissy got the thing that was like a week one advantage last season. That was something that, well, you could use it as a fake idol after this, that there was a fake idol making kit that Debbie had a chance to get. But I feel like that this is the first time Survivor has given somebody, here you go, here's a fake idol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's great. It's pre-made. I think it held up pretty well. So, you know, having made it, it probably is the first time.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And you made it.
I did. Two nights. It took me two nights.
Yeah. I saw on Twitter that a lot of people had wondered that they took the idol. Jeff said, nope, this is nice, but not a real idol. Threw it in the fire. How did this idol then survive?
You know, that flame, and it sounds funny to say, but that flame isn't really all that hot. Mm-hmm. So things don't burn all that fast in it. And
not even the twine, the thread that was holding it together. Do you think it had to be restrung?
I would imagine it probably did have to be restrung, but you know, it got thrown in the fire at the end of Tribal. And then you leave and it's over. So then someone fishes their hand into it and pulls it out. In fact, Matt Van Wagenen, the exec producer, he fished his hand into it.
His tongs ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that out of there.
Yeah. He even tweeted it.
Does he have a pool, like a skimmer?
It probably just in case that happens. Yeah, exactly.
What do you hope happens with your... Do you want to see another Survivor get fooled?
I think that'd be fun, right? I mean, that's the fun of a fake idol.
Would that be the first time that one fake idol has fooled two different Survivors?
I think it would be. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. The first time... You could be the first... Your idol, fake idol was so good, you could fool two different people in two seasons of Survivor.
That's fantastic. I love that.
Yes. Or do you think that some super fan will recognize that? I know. That's the idol that David Wright made and gave to Jay.
You know, I don't think anybody retains that level of detail. Yeah, I think. Yeah, it is impossible. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. If I found it, I would probably think it was real.
Yeah. I do wonder, though, in this season where everything has come back, there's been all of these other idols, could somebody suspect that like some sort of an idol like that, like it's in a coconut that was sort of like, I don't know if any other real idol has been in a coconut, and that was the way that you hid that, right? In a coconut husk.
Yes, that's right.
And so could that be the tip off for somebody who's a real super fan? They say, oh, this is just like the idol that Jay found in Millennials versus Gen X, except that one wasn't real, but this one must be because I just found it.
Yeah, except there's enough doubt, right? Because we had Ozzy's stick, which was fake, but now has power. So maybe a fake idol power.
They've set them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm getting a lot of complaints also that people are complaining on social media. There's too many relics from Millennials versus Gen X. People are upset about that.
There's only the one, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, two, I guess, technically, the legacy, but...
Okay, well, let's talk about the JV Tribal Council a little bit. And there was some intrigue here in the Jenna and Donathan of it all. First off, you had that great moment in the episode tonight where Michael comes, and Michael has been so good that even on his way out, he really put up a great fight. And he went to Donathan and said, hey, Donathan, can I borrow your idol for a little bit? Which I thought was it's a big ask, but he's not asking, can I use it? He's asking, can I borrow it? And Donathan said, oh no.
Yeah.
He shut that down really quick. I said, okay, I was surprised. I thought Donathan would be a little bit more like, Michael's my friend, I don't want to, but he did. He said no flat out. And then Donathan, though, started talking about like, well, you know, the curse of this idol was Ty didn't play it for his friend. And I guess, yes, I guess from the Scott Pollard perspective of it, it was the curse. I mean, for Ty, it wasn't. No. It was like, yeah, Ty didn't waste his idol, but he didn't get to use it. But that being said, so Donathan starts talking about maybe I should play the idol on Jenna. And meanwhile, Jenna's like, man, I'm going to put my phone on Donathan here. And so I thought we were going to get to this point where that not only was Donathan going to play his idol on Jenna, maybe Donathan was going to get voted out too.
Yeah. I mean, I was panicking. I was like, oh God, don't. I mean, you're so close, Ian. Don't waste your idol on anybody else. Yes. Play it on yourself if you're going to play it.
Okay. A couple of things about this. Now, during the episode, you were, I noticed you reacting to like, oh, Donathan, what are you, crazy? What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I go back to your season and you were somebody that played an idol for Jessica Lewis back in season 33. And not only that, you, even though I was critical at the time of the move, you said that that was one of your best moves in the game. So why were you so horrified to think that Donathan could play his idol on his ally in Jenna?
Well, for me, I don't really feel like Donathan and Jenna really are allies. I don't think that their relationship seems all that strong. Obviously, Jenna will be able to weigh in on that tomorrow. But and as far as in defense of my move, I did it very early where I felt like I just had nothing left. And this late in the game, there aren't that many targets. You're kind of, you know, you're down to, what are we down to, 10?
There were 10 people in the game at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, 5 at this tribal. So I don't know, if you're going to play your idol at that point with 5 left, you don't play it on anybody but yourself if you're going to play it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was very surprised in this episode as well that it was Sebastian who was, hey, let's vote out Jenna. Now, all season long, we've been talking about the showman, Seabass and Jenna, and more so from things from social media and Instagram, as opposed to stuff that we've seen on the show. We only saw them really have that one conversation on the show,
yeah,
where he said her hair smells like dead weasels.
And it was instant love.
Okay, sure. But we know that they are hot and heavy. They're really a pair. We saw zero evidence of that on the show, and that he did not even seem to have any hesitation in terms of voting her out. So
yeah,
whatever relationship happened, it seemed to, like, okay, they knew each other on the show, but that anything that happened romantically with them happened after the show is over.
I suppose, yeah, we didn't get the showmance that we thought we were going to get, at least on screen. But certainly it's there's something brewing off screen.
Yeah. So
in real life,
it was really one of these cases where the, you know, in a future season where we have, oh, so-and-so are together, like, I think you have to take it with like a, so what? We had a couple of these showmances together where we've seen people linked together in pictures after the show. Like, oh, I guess they must get together on the show. That must be an alliance. Like, well, not really.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Not in this case.
It hasn't mattered in the least. So yeah. Really something that threw us for a little bit of a loop.
But Boss and Rob and Amber are still, they're still together. They're still tweeting.
Right. But at least they were together on the show. That somebody even said on the show that they were going to do it early on. And it turned out that they did. Yeah. So that one, we kind of had an inkling to. Big Tom said that Rob and Amber are going to have a survivor baby. Yes, name it Crowbar. I don't know why that was going to be the name of Rob and Amber's baby. But we saw it also tonight. They got to the tribal council and Jenna immediately led off with, well, Jeff, it's open and shut case tonight. I'm going home. Can we vote?
Yeah. And as Jeff pointed out, it was a little early. Right?
Jeff was like, boy, that's never happened before.
Yeah, nobody, I give up.
Well, I surrender, Jeff. I'm going home tonight. So, well, let's just get cut to the chase.
I mean, speaking of that, do you think
I gotta get on that jury? I got a jury to catch.
Do you think that did just wave a flag to Donathan that, like, oh, okay, this is for me?
I don't think it had any effect in what happened at the tribal council, but we had the same thing really last week with Desiree, where Desiree was at tribal council last week. I'm ready to vote, Jeff. I'm ready to vote. I'm ready to vote. I'm ready to vote.
Yeah.
And then Jeff said to her, sounds like you're ready to vote. She's like, I'm ready to vote. And I think that this is something that we touched on it last week, but it's a good note for future Survivor players that the more somebody wants to wrap up the conversation, the more, it's a signal they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They want to get out of there. If this is a poker hand that they're bluffing, they don't have I shouldn't say it's a bluff, because, you know, in the case of Michael, who doesn't have the idol, like, he may want to like delay the inevitable and hope that something changes in the status quo. But for the person that this is, she just wants to like get it over with as quick as possible.
Yeah.
That I think that's a signal that, you know, there's some deception at hand.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Yeah. Take future players take note.
Yeah, that the person who is, you know, uncomfortable with the lie wants to get through the conversation as soon as possible.
And if you don't want to get through the conversation as soon as possible and you are lying, you probably are a sociopath because you're really good at it.
Yeah. So the Jenna went right to the jury. I found this to be hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
Like, all right, Jenna, go.
Such a show. There's a seat for you right over there.
For you at the jury. And so she just has to like take that walk of shame to go, I guess I'm in the jury now.
Yeah, it's like 10 feet. Yeah.
And then it was surprising when the new people came in they weren't like, it's you. They were just like, nobody even like acknowledged her or like looked at her.
I think she even said that she didn't get a hug.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't get a hug. I don't think they told her she's not allowed to talk now that she's in the jury. And then also at the end of the episode, Michael got to walk off. Like, they didn't tell him go sit at the jury, and then she was just like left there with like the other idiots on the jury.
Yeah, you're right. It's really weird that they did it that way.
She had this really weird experience.
Yeah.
And then no final words.
No, none at all. Oh, what a sad end. That's awful.
Yeah, so that was a tough night for her. Jeff ended up closing out the tribal council with, I thought he had some important words, I thought they were good words as far as those final words go, where he said, like, you know, there's going to be some interesting campfire stories. Everybody that could have gotten a vote tonight did in your group. I'm sure you guys will have some interesting conversations. Kellen was visibly upset following that her play. It did not work. I would think that Laurel is going to be upset.
Oh my God. Yeah.
With Kellen. And I think she's going to be really upset that she was sort of frozen out.
Yeah. It seems like there is a war next week brewing between the two of them.
Yeah. And so I would not be surprised to see Kellen be the next person to go out of the game.
I wouldn't either. But I mean, who knows with Ghost Island, that's this factor, whatever advantages that are going to be mined there or idols, who knows? And then the fake idol, who knows who's going to find that?
Yeah. The fake idol could be a factor. Dominic and Wendell just seem to, again, have all of the control.
I can't believe that. Yeah. I mean, they're doing amazing. Although, you know, it's very interesting because earlier I've been thinking, like, I don't think that they should sit next to each other at Final Tribal. I think that'd be a mistake for both of them.
Yeah.
And we saw them pledge allegiance to each other. Like, I'm not going to go after you. You don't go after me. No, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
But then we saw Dominic say that if he does have to break that bond, he will.
Yeah, that was the first time we saw that tonight, where the two guys who had been working together, you know, they had this conversation, talked about like, it's us too. We're, you know, it's us. It's us.
Look, yeah.
Without me, without you, we're done. And then we did see then Dominic in confessional talk about how, you know, I'm saying that, but, you know, I'm really out here for my family. I do sense that Dominic would cut Wendell before Wendell would cut Dominic. Do you have the same read?
I mean, from what we've seen, I have that read, but who knows what Wendell is saying in confessionals that maybe we're not saying. But I will say that I think that their game has been, both their games have been so wrapped up in each other. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a mistake to sit next to that person, whether you're Dominic or Wendell, because, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we did this together. Then who do you vote for, you know, as a jury?
Yeah. It's hard to sort of, you know, split the baby in that sense.
Yeah.
And then also in the final three format, what tends to happen is the person who's the outsider of the two people that have been joined in the game, that person often wins. I think if you go and take a look at all the final threes, that for the most part, the person who was sort of like the third person who was not with the two people that are friends in that final three, they tend to do well in that group. So it'll be a thing to watch.
Yeah.
Between Dominic and Wendell, I think that Wendell, I get from him like, I could beat Dominic.
Could be.
I got this.
Yeah, yeah.
I got this, you know. Like, let's go. I'll go to the end with Dominic. These guys like me better.
Well, you know, I mean, like, all you want is someone you can trust to the end. And, you know, obviously I thought I had it with Ken and turned out I didn't. But yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know exactly what that's like.
Yeah.
So if Wendell feels like he does have that in Dominic then and does think that he can beat him at Final Tribal, then I guess there's, you know, maybe he is less inclined to get rid of him.
How impressed have you been with Dominic and Wendell, though? Because obviously such a big part of your season is, you know, that you had an ally in Zeke And then you guys both realize that we can't work together. That this person's in my way. I need to get rid of them, and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that happened with me and Zeke, and maybe it's happening with Dominic, but I mean, like when you are playing two very similar games and you view the game in the same way, then you're always thinking like, well, if a thought just at all pops into your head that maybe I should get rid of this guy, then you're thinking, well, he's probably having that same thought too. And then you get paranoid, and then you make one comment to somebody, and then they run back and tell Zeke or whoever, and then the next thing you know, you're at war with the person. They haven't, and I'm blown away that hasn't happened yet. But we're seeing Dominic talk about it, so maybe that is going
to
happen.
Okay, all right. We want to start to get to your questions coming up here in a moment. Let me take 1 minute and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And support for this podcast, David, comes from our friends over at Microsoft Teams. It's your hub for teamwork in Office 365. When you're working together like a well-oiled machine like Dominic and Wendell are, you don't need, software to help you with that. But for the rest of us mortals working in business, you can use all the help you can get. And Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, communicate authentically, just like they would in the real world. With so much to look after, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look? That's why Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your files, and your apps, all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards a deadline, like David does in the Spartan races, or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn even more. David, I know you take copious notes also during it. Is there anything from your notes that you want to touch on?
Oh, God. Well, let's see. Well, actually, let's look at what's left now. What do we have left now? So the extra vote's gone. That was played.
Yeah, that was the thing that I really did like. I think that this was an inspired idea. Again, I want to commend the Survivor producers here for taking a swing, even though it did not work out because of the luck of the draw. I really felt like that this would be great, that you had basically two final fives set up tonight.
Yeah.
And just like at the real final five, people are going to play their idols and their advantages. So if Dominic and Wendell were going to be split up potentially and not be in a group where they had the clear majority, I think you very well could have seen maybe everybody play their idols tonight, and you could have had a complete reset of the idols and the advantages. And I do hope that Survivor might take a chance on this again. I hope they felt like that this worked tonight, even though it was still kind of a predictable result had we done the same exact thing and then basically had two back-to-back tribal councils. We got the same result. I do think that there were more possibilities of drastic things happening, and I think it would have caused more chaos and more people to play their advantages had the breakdown happened a different way.
Yeah, I love the swing of it all. And even though, the advantage also, we still got a tie out of it, which was fun. Mm-hmm. I hope they do this again. It was really exciting. It was a double snuff.
Double snuff here tonight.
But yeah, I'm sorry. So Donathan's idol's gone. Kellen's advantage is gone. And now we have Wendell's got his idol, and Dominic has his idol, and then there's a fake idol. That's all that's left right now in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So presumably someone's going to go to Ghost Island next week and maybe find another advantage to play with.
Yeah. Donathan tonight, he misplayed his idol.
Yeah.
Sort of was blindsided by Jenna. Donathan was looking very confident when he played. Like, first vote, Donathan. He's like, he was so into it.
He was.
And then like his face dropped when he started saying like, Jenna. And she was just like giving him a look like, you stupid idiot. You stupid moron.
But I get
that. Why did you play? Why did you waste the idol?
Yeah, I know. Oh, God. Ugh. Yeah. But I get him playing it on himself. You know, you get so paranoid and you don't see things as clearly. But yeah. But yeah, he's around anyway. And he can find another one tomorrow.
Yeah. Look, that's the thing about playing the idol. Yeah. It's something that you've said before. Yeah,
like, no, I'm just parroting you. That's what you said.
Just go find another one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's out there.
Advantage Island.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, let's take some questions. Scott St. Pierre's got this all queued up. David, Taylor Hours wants to know, what do you think about Dom and Wendell not voting Kellen to save Laurel just in case Michael had an idol? even though she put her game on the line the week prior for them, do you think that that will have an impact on the game? Do you think that Laurel could have been nonplussed at all by how this all went down, where she said, hey, I need these guys to protect me? And their response was, we're going to call Michael's bluff. He's bluffing.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I had your back before. Don't you have my back now?
I think that maybe Laurel could be upset about this. Yeah. She's like, guys, save me.
Yeah.
Save me. Vote for Kellen. Like, he's bluffing.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything. Trust me.
Although it's the right move for her to not stir the pot with Dominic and Wendell, because now she's already stirred the pot with Kellen. So she's going to need them.
How did she stir the pot with Kellen?
She went and told, like, it's maybe.
I don't think that she actually did anything to Kellen.
Right.
Kellen does not trust Laurel again, and Laurel, I mean, Kellen does have the correct read in here. Yes, your Navidi guys are seeing somebody else.
That's right.
Check the text messages. They're stepping out on you, Kellen. They have other allies, and it's not you. And you're getting voted out soon.
Yes, but it's interesting because now Chelsea and Angela are going to be, well, they're presumably on the bottom of Navidi, original Navidi. But
yes, quite presumably.
Yes, but now with all this stuff with Kellen and her paranoia, yeah, who knows what next week looks like?
Yeah, I just don't know what the conversations on the beach that are being had. And Kellen tonight was still like, okay, well, we're still Navidi strong, and I know that you know I've got that going for me, so.
Yeah.
But what then? And I guess in her mind, what she presumes is, okay, well, I've still got Angela, I still got Chelsea, I still got Seabass. And then once we get down to, we get rid of, now Laurel will go, and then Donathan will go, and then we'll vote out and then we'll vote out Dominic, and then we'll vote out Wendell, and that'll be my final four.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, but I don't see how it could possibly work that way.
Like, it'll be me and Angela and Chelsea in the final three. How could you not vote for me? Clean sweep.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, and I'll have all of my roller coasters talk and Sherlock Holmes and everything. And, you know, what will Angela and Chelsea even say?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Who knows what they would
say? Win going away, and it'll be great. But she just seems to have this big blind spot that, no, Dominic and Wendell are working with these two Malolo people.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, Laurel, I think, is just a really good position. But we'll see how it plays out.
What will her move be?
Well, I mean, I think that, like, you know, she and I think Wendell really likes her, and Dominic seems to trust her. I think what she really should do is get Donathan and the lower Navidi people to vote out Kellen.
Yeah, I think that she is positioned well to get to four with at least a five, and maybe something, you know, maybe there's something wonky going on. But she's positioned well with that group to get down to the end game. But I don't think that she's positioned well, considering that those two guys have idols,
yeah,
to get past four or five.
True, true. Yeah, well, maybe she'll get to go to Ghost Island herself and find something.
Yeah, if she could engineer a way to get to Ghost Island,
send me there, guys.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. That she can get on equal footing,
yes,
with those guys, and potentially, okay, well, if everybody plays their idol at five, okay, at least I have an idol too.
Yes,
and I can get to four.
Yeah, no, that'd be exciting,
because somebody's gonna go out at five that doesn't have an idol.
And I can't remember. Do we know? Is there a fire making challenge?
Yes.
Okay, there is. Okay, well, that's another thing to consider. Like, who's good at making fire that's left?
Yes. Talk about the fire making challenge, because I don't want to misquote this, but I think that this was what Adam had said when we talked originally about the fire making challenge, that the fire making challenge at four was a response to you being taken out of the game at four, because you were Dirty Dave that was always in the fire, and that would have saved you.
I think that would have saved me. Yeah, I got pretty good at making fire. So I think, I wish I did have this twist back then. And I think that, like, you know, it's something that probably people aren't thinking about too much. But, and then suddenly there you are at Final Four, and like, oh, crap, I don't know how to make fire. and you lose whoever does. I mean, we saw that with Devin and Ben.
How did
Ben.
You get so good at making the fire?
You know, it's funny. I wasn't very good at it at all. And then Paul showed me a bit. Ken showed me a bit.
You picked it up out there. It wasn't something that you learned
before you played. A little bit in advance, but for the most part, I got really good at it out there. And I was just always doing it. Yeah. And then so like every day you're making fire. So.
Were you doing it with the suspicion that, okay, well, I could be in some sort of a tiebreak scenario and let me learn it that way?
I wish I had that kind of foresight. No, I literally was just trying to contribute because to the tribe.
That was the long time Final Four tiebreaker where that now they just made it at every Final Four that has to happen. But there had been, you know, in San between Rodney and Mama C, and then infamously in Cook Island. So Tom and Jen, I think, had to both go through that. So, I mean, it's probably happened like four or five different times where at the Final Four we have had the fire making.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, if you're going to play Survivor, you should know how to make fire, whether it's for that challenge or not. It's just a fundamental thing that you should know how to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you aren't mad at that twist, right?
No, I'm not mad at it at all. I know a lot of people were mad last season because they didn't know in advance that that was going to be a twist. And I guess I want to say that this season, weren't they maybe told?
I believe that they know about this.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody saying like, oh, I'm playing this different strategy because I know that this is coming.
Yeah, you're right. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens, what the reaction is at four. But yeah, we'll find out.
Okay, let's take another question. This one is from R. Gray Shaw. Why didn't Donathan save his idol? I think he made a wrong move. Okay. Let's be binary here. Right move or wrong move for Donathan to play the idol for himself here?
Well, if you're going to play it, it's the right move to play it for yourself. But, you know, I suppose he could have seen that he didn't even need to play it at all. But if you are going to play it, you definitely play it for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, with this scenario of there being only five people.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like that's why I think that I like this twist because it really encourages people. Josh and I talked about this scenario potentially unfolding on the Wiggle Room, which turned out to be one of the better calls of recent podcasting that I've had. And somebody talked about it as a mid-merge idol purge on Twitter. And you have so many idols and advances in the game. Like this is like a good pit stop to just, okay, let's lighten the load here with the idols and the advantages and get it to a little bit of a more manageable number.
Yeah.
And on the night, you know, we lost an idol, we lost an advantage, we had a fake idol into the game. And so now we're sitting there with just two idols and a fake idol in the game, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So whatever's left on the island to grab.
It's a more manageable inventory.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there when Dominic was going out into the woods and I thought he was going to find another. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I know, totally.
And, you know, what's he going to have? Like, how much hardware is he going to have?
Yeah. Yeah. When this episode started, I think we had four things in play. So, yeah, it's nice to kind of be able to track it better.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another question here. And this one is from Wyatt, who says, do you think Michael is guaranteed a second season with how well he played with his back against the wall every episode?
100% he's going
to
get.
He talked about a couple of weeks ago during the Gross Food, like, I only got to play Survivor once. So probably he'll be.
He's going
to
get to play again.
Be it for me.
So. No, that's not it. No, in fact, yeah, he's probably out there now.
If he wants it. And I've talked about Michael from the preseason in these terms that I believe that this young man who's been very impressive, 18 years old, whatever he wants to do, whether he wants to like his career, like I think that this guy is like, you know, he is these movie star looks and is very seems very well grounded. I feel like he's not a guy that's going to like, you know, flame out on the party scene or anything.
No.
Like that. Wherever he wants to go, and if that is a return trip to Survivor, but he may well turn it down.
I feel like he wants to play again, but seems like he had a lot of fun out there. And absolutely, all he has to do is sign the dotted line, and I think he gets to play again.
I think whenever he wants to return, I think he would be well. I mean, he had a amazing run and was so impressive at 18 years old.
It's insane.
I just think that he will have so many opportunities in front of him, wherever he wants to go career wise, that a trip back to Survivor may not be something that he's interested in.
Oh, possibly not.
2 years or 3 years,
yeah.
Whatever he's doing.
Well, it's his to turn down, I bet.
Yeah. Okay. And Jenna too, right? Miles wants to know, why would Jenna tell Donathan that everyone is voting for him when she knows he has an idol? Isn't the right play to convince him to play the idol for her? Well, I don't think that she, I guess that, you could argue that, but I think that it was a little bit of a surprise for her that Donathan would even suggest that he was going to play the idol for her. So I think that she had the correct impulse to say, hey, let me throw Donathan under the bus. And then Donathan says to her, like, well, you're my friend, I might play the idol for you. And she's like, oh my God, this idiot might play the idol for me. And so at that point, it was like, it was also that she needed to sort of like go back around and then tell everybody, like, you know, it's like, hey, everybody, just vote for me. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And she sort of then was caught in this position where it's like, okay, well, now I'm voting for Donathan and I'm hoping. So I guess she had two outs there. Neither one panned out.
Yeah. Can we just vote already? I'm going home.
Like, I kind of screwed up the plan. I thought we were going to blindside him, but now he's talking about playing the idol for me. So let's just, can we get to the cut to the chase? So he just plays the idol on me quick.
Yeah. 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 Oh, Jenna.
In fairness to Jenna, I thought that up until she was saying, like, hey, could we hurry it up here? I thought that she played it fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it almost worked.
Almost. Okay. Edgar wants to ask, does this show that Laurel made the right move last week since Wendell trusted her enough to consider voting out Kellen and probably sending her home until Dominic probably told him to stick to vote out Michael? We don't know what that conversation is. So we're sort of like filling in the blanks in terms of I don't know if we have enough evidence. I do think that Laurel got a little bit hosed here in having the odd numbered tribal council get yada yada here tonight.
Yeah.
Where that we talked about on the podcast, far back as a couple of weeks ago, of when is the right time for Laurel and Donathan to make a move against Dominic and Wendell. And we talked about 9 would be a good spot if she wanted to do that. I don't get the sense that that would have happened at 9, but they missed that opportunity. Where there had the tribal council at 10 happened, and then that was the tribal council at the final 9 where Michael got voted out. So they'll have another chance to, you know, get on the off ramp at 7.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean somebody's got to break up Dominic and Wendell, but that's not what's going to happen from Laurel, I don't think. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
But it's almost impossible to have that scenario come up where, unless at 7, and this is what would have to happen, where Kellen gets voted out this next episode at 8.
Okay. Yeah.
And then where Donathan and Laurel feel secure enough now that Kellen is gone, and to say to Seabass and Angela and Chelsea, like, guys, wake up. Wake up, smell the coffee here. These two guys are gonna win. What are you guys doing?
Right. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And so there is that possibility that then they say, and they say, oh yeah, you make a good point. Like, I didn't think about that. Yeah, those guys are gonna win.
Yeah.
But they may look at it like, what the hell do we need you two idiots for? Let's vote out Laurel and let's vote out Donathan, because Dominic and Wendell could say to those guys, like, hey, Navidi's strong, right? We're still doing the Navidi thing. Laurel's going home this week.
Yeah.
And then blindside those guys off. And then now when you get to, because they'd be, so the three people on the bottom would be saying, hey, there's three of us. There's only Dominic and Wendell. So let's vote. Let's stick with our 5. Let's vote off these two other Malolo bottom feeders. And then when we get down to 5, we'll pick off Dominic and Wendell. And then here's our final 3, Seabass and Angela and Chelsea. That's the final 3. Seabass is like, I'm made stony baloney.
I mean, the thing is, yeah, it's like for Chelsea and Angela, I think they're, you know, if you do feel like you're on the bottom, but then you're being reassured that you're going to survive the next vote, you can just sort of get, it's sort of like a drug. It's like, I'm going to survive the next vote. And then you just think, well, and I'll just figure out what to do at the end. You know, but I don't know that there is an end game for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see.
So, it's interesting to see how it's going to play out. But I feel like that I can't see people switching against Dominic and Wendell.
Yeah, well, I mean, and they're probably afraid of them, but and we know, but it's, someone should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Kim Martin says, why didn't Laurel and Michael vote together? Was there any logic behind not voting together? Yeah, Laurel is with Dominic and Wendell, and yeah. Michael is not.
Yeah, it would make no sense to vote with Michael.
So Michael may have thought, hey, I'm voting with Laurel. Laurel said, like, oh, I'm voting. What are you doing tonight? Okay, I'm voting Wendell. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
I'll do it too.
Yeah, so that'll be perfect. And they don't know that Kellen has the extra vote,
right?
And so if Kellen is telling Michael, like, okay, I'm voting for Laurel, you vote for Laurel too, okay, great. And then so maybe they're gonna force their two votes, and then would they get to a tie, and then it would be 2-2, but then would they still lose in the tiebreaker? I think so.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great plan. Paige wants to know, I'm just trying to figure out why Michael didn't vote for Laurel. Did they have such a good relationship that he didn't want to betray her? I'm confused. That Michael, really, the only thing that he had going was, let's get Malolo back together. You know, there's so many people in this season that have two plans.
Yeah.
Where whether it's Dominic and Wendell, they've got the Navidi plan, and then they've also got the whole thing with Donathan and Laurel. And then Donathan and Laurel have the Malolo thing as a backup. That's kind of not a thing anymore. Where Kellen has, okay, I've got Navidi, but then I've also got my, you know, go off with, you know, Angela and like the bottom of Navidi.
Yeah.
So, I think that for Michael, that was all he had was Malolo.
And then, there's just nothing for him to do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thomas McGee says, did Kellen waste her advantage, or was it worth a shot to take out Laurel? Could she have done anything different with that advantage?
I mean, I think, you know, there's only five people there. I think it's a good time to use the advantage. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think save it for another vote, or?
Yeah, I think that she wasted it. She got faked out by Michael.
Well, she did. Yeah.
On his way out the door and there was no reason to play it. He did not have an idol that she could have deduced that he didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's tempting. I have never had an idol or an advantage, but maybe you could speak to this, that does it burn a hole in your pocket?
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. Especially when you're sitting there at tribal. You always bring everything with you. I mean, JT didn't, but like, you should bring every advantage with you to tribal. And when you're sitting there, yeah, it's so hot in your pocket. You want to play it.
I mean, we talked it through that, you know, not only is Dominic giving her the, like, trust me, he doesn't have anything. And then also she didn't get him to show it to her.
Yeah. And I don't understand that. It's just such a simple ask, and either they can deliver or they can't. And if they can't, then they're lying.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of, if he's telling her he has the idol, unless he's pulling like the, you know, we talked about this. This is like the Australian Survivor AK move, where you really have an idol, but then are trying to get everybody to think that you're bluffing. And then like, if Jacob Derwin came back from Ghost Island with, hey, everybody, here's my idol, and like, that's fake. But then he really had one and was trying to like get everybody to vote for him because he had a fake idol. But then he wasn't like presenting a fake idol or anything like that.
No. Yeah. It would have been good to have something like that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Day one, just start making fake idols, everybody, if you're out there.
Yes. Listen to David Wright. Build fires, make fake idols. What else should people do?
Oh, God. And learn to swim would probably be a good thing.
Yes. Okay. All right. Elizabeth has a question. The twist tonight was much like what they used to do pre-merge. Each tribe competes for individual immunity. The winners compete for rewards. Winners go to tribal first and then eat and listen in. Why'd they stop that? I loved it. What do you guys think? Well, I love this tonight also, that this is something that they did used to do in the Michelle Yee version of this, which we chronicled in the Wiggle Room this week. What they did was they drew, I think it was teams of five at the final 10, but then those teams competed against each other as tribes. One tribe went to tribal council. So it wasn't a scenario where both tribes went to the tribal council. Did you like how they did this, or would you have preferred that they did both tribes went to tribal council pre-merge?
I like how they did it tonight. I thought this was great. And like you said, it, you know, the expectations, what we thought would happen is what happened. But I still think, yeah, the swing of it all. I thought this was just, I want to see this again.
Yeah. I think that this, I mean, could you do this at 8? Should you do this at 12 maybe?
Oh, yeah, you could. Sure. Why not?
I think if you're going to try it again, I would say, I mean, let's mix up the number.
Yeah.
Let's not do it at 10. I mean, if this was a Ghost Island season, no reason why you couldn't have done this at 11 and send somebody to Ghost Island. That person is going to be safe for this round. And that's like another, I mean, this person did not get picked, but they'll be immune from the vote this week and they'll go to Ghost Island and then split it up. And then hopefully a bunch of people play advantages.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Andy says, could Donathan have prevented or pretended he had two idols, Ty and Scott's, and bluffed like a madman, then played the one that he had on himself? Would that have worked? I mean, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't have been allowed to do that. Could he have put an idol on him? And then, and also, I had, now again, I don't think he can't go up to Jeff and say, Jeff, I'm playing this idol tonight for me and this idol tonight for Jenna.
Yeah.
But they could go into tribal council wearing those two idols.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And that could have had a huge impact. Yeah. But it certainly, when Jeff is the, he's going to tell you what it's worth or what it's not worth. And, but I mean, whatever, Donathan's still in the game. He's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could he have let Michael wear, you know, his half an idol
and then
and show it to Kellen at least?
God, maybe.
For Donathan, he's like this double agent with his moral.
Yeah. I would feel very uncomfortable to do anything like that. People, you know, obviously the truth's going to come out and then you're going to look a little too schemey, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right move for him.
Okay, let's do a couple more questions here with David Wright. The great John Densford, $10, says, Dave, if you were Wenny or Dami, would you vote the other person out? If so, when is the right time? So, okay. If
definitely.
You would vote the other guy out.
Yeah. I think you have to, especially with, because their game is so, both their games are so wrapped up in each other. I think they have to vote the other out. It just becomes too complicated to sell yourself.
Well, when do you do it? Because my co-host on this podcast was faced with a similar situation one time. And that if he debated getting rid of the person that he was going to the end with in JT. But then JT won the last couple of immunity challenges. And now both of these guys have shown, there was a little bit of bravado between the two of them tonight to see for dominance, not Dominix, who is going to be the ultimate immunity winner.
Yeah.
And so this is definitely something like that either of those guys could win the last couple of challenges.
Yeah. And you know, you're seeing, I think like that, what they were doing there in that challenge is only going to, I think, erode their relationship. But yeah, it certainly they're both very strong, not just strategically, but physically. So I think, honestly, it's a little early to do it now, but soon. I'd say 3 votes.
When will then be now?
Two or 3 votes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Chris Hickey says, Rob and Steven, do you think that they would have allowed Chelsea to give her immunity to Kellen, for example? They allowed Colton's tribe to give up immunity to the women in One World before tribal. So, hypothetical situation here. Chelsea says, you know what? I'm safe here. I want to give my individual immunity to Kellen. Would they have let that fly or would they have said, no, that necklace is only good for your tribal council? That there was a chance, she had a chance to win immunity at her tribal council. She did not win it. Thank you. Good day, sir.
I mean, I don't know what the official answer would be, but I would think that they would let her do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Jeff's always said that the players make the rules. Obviously, there's some rules that they have no control over, but I think they would let her. Would you think? What do you think?
I suspect no.
Oh, really?
I feel like that. No, this is for a different tribal council.
Yeah. Okay.
This
maybe
is, this is like, you know, like if somebody said at a tribal council, like, Jeff, you know, I'm immune tonight. I want to take the necklace off. I want to give it to David, but I want it to be for next tribal.
Yeah. 3
council.
Days from now. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
I think the future. It's sort of like, I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Like, color in the lines, people. Okay. Mike Zahn Are Wendell and Laurel already playing to the jury by referencing Libby during tribal council tonight? Yeah, I thought that this was a good point. This is something that Stephen often cites to Cochran. The jury likes to feel like they're
still part of it. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Laurel started it, and she was the ones that were like, hey, look at Libby. That sometimes the, you know, I saw what happened last time when Michael had immunity. Poor Libby had to go home. And then Wendell came in, and then he said, yeah, just like old Libby over there.
Yeah, I mean, you're not allowed to talk directly to them, but you can certainly name drop them and make them feel good. So I think that's probably exactly
something that you had been aware of out there.
Yeah, I remember Cochran actually saying that before I went out there, not to me, but in whatever episode it was, or maybe it was a reunion. Yeah, I think it was a reunion of Caramel, I think he said it. But in any case, yeah, I don't think I really did too much of it, to be honest, because there's just so much other stuff to worry about. It just wasn't anything I was doing, but I think it is a good thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Kelly. So is this the first time that someone hasn't had to first announce they're playing an extra vote advantage? Seems like a huge added bonus to be able to do it in secret. I think that there's been a shift here, David, where I think that Survivor likes it now, where people say, ooh, there's too many votes. Ooh, there's not enough votes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Like, yeah.
It was actually Jenna in the jury. It was like, hey, guys, there's six votes.
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, they're surprised as much as anybody. Yeah, I guess it's a shift in the game. It's an evolution in the game.
Yes. So I'm trying to think of in the previous people that had this. I think that was it. Dan Foley have to get up and say it? Like, you know, it's,
yeah, Dan Steven,
he had a vote steal.
Yeah,
he had to announce that he was taking a vote, but
he took Joe's, I think.
Yeah. Did Dan Foley have to announce that he was going to be voting twice, or did he just have like the extra, his thing was like in a case?
Yeah. And I don't remember for certain, but I want to say that he announced it.
Yeah. How great would it have been if we had where Kellen had the Michaela vote, if she would have just, if she was voting for Michael, if she was with the rest of her alliance, and she was just like, A off at the end. And then,
that would have been actually, yeah. Yeah, that would have been really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost worth voting for him for that reason.
Yeah. And when we saw the vote reveal, they just showed us even though Kellen voted two votes for Laurel, they only showed us one.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
They didn't show us the tiebreak votes. I guess that you have to figure out that everybody voted for Michael.
Yeah, I guess that's what happened. But
yeah. Okay. Shaylin says, is Chelsea seriously the most under-edited person to ever make the final eight? She has won not one, but two individual immunities in a row, and she has zero confessionals since then. She always seems in on the vote. What is going on? Hashtag Survivor. Hashtag really purple Chelsea. Well, Dom Harvey had tweeted out the stat. I saw Steven retweeted it as well, that she has the least number of confessionals ever in the history of the show to make it this far.
What number is that?
I don't know. I don't know the number of confessionals. I will reject the point that she is always in the vote. Last week, she was not included in the vote to vote out Desiree. I believe she voted with Desiree for Michael last week. So she is not always in the loop. I can't speak to it. I would imagine the reason is that, look, we've seen a lot of people. Jacob Derwin had a million confessionals this season. If you're good at confessionals, they're going to show you. If you stink at confessionals, they're going to bury you in the edit.
Right. And
unless you are playing a very important role in the story, which to this point she is not, that's the reason for it.
Yeah. And then if we see her a lot, we probably assume she's going home.
I don't think there's any sort of conspiracy. But the show, if it's biased in any way, it's biased towards people who give good confessionals.
Yeah. I mean, certainly in terms of screen time. Yeah.
Yes. If you are good at the confessional, you will get more screen time. If you are bad at it, if you can't tell a good story, then they're not going to show you. And it's no disrespect to Chelsea.
Yeah.
But it's also a TV show.
I think brevity is good as well in storytelling. So, you know, say a lot with very little. That
brevity,
helps.
Brevity is good. You know, incredible self-awareness or complete lack of self-awareness.
Yes, 100%.
Either of those two extremes. She may be just like right in the middle. There's also a lot of times that there's somebody who really pops in casting. And then also when they get out on the island, that they are very depleted and they have like no energy and they have a sparkle in casting that they don't have when yeah. they are out there on the island. And now she seems very physically fit in terms of she's won back-to-back immunities.
Yeah.
But she just has not been able to tell the story in an interesting enough way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, she has actually, she has obviously been winning some challenges, but she looks like she's wasting away. So yeah. I think maybe that's playing into whatever possible fatigue she might have, just in terms of the confessionals of it all.
And I think the tell is that if you're somebody that is, you know, you love Chelsea, go watch your secret scene and then see if you're, if you like pick up your phone and you start checking Twitter or something, or if you're like captivated by what she's saying.
Yeah, there you go.
So that'll be that, that's how you know. Okay. David, let me tell you about what's coming up here on the podcast. Of course, tomorrow morning, Taryn Armstrong is going to be back at it. Get those live feed updates while you can. Only a couple more days of the Big Brother Canada 6 live feeds there. And then I will have our double exit interview. And spoiler alert, David Wright's going to stick around and play the This Week in Survivor History quiz tonight.
I will fail, but
I'll buy him dinner. I'll buy him dinner just for that. But stay tuned for that double exit interview, Jenna Michael, and then David Wright on the This Week in Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish. And then Taryn Armstrong and the gang will be live on Thursday night as we get down from the final five to the final four. Who will go home on Big Brother Canada 6 and make it to the final four? Find out tomorrow night. You never know what could change. And then Tyson Apostle will be my guest on Thursday afternoon. And just a quick note for those of you guys who are watching News AF, we just recently started streaming News AF on our Twitch TV channel. If you go to twitch.tv/RHAP, and Tyson and I will be streaming our interview. We don't normally do this with the Survivor guests. We'll be streaming that interview live at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, if you want to join in and ask us questions on Twitch. You ever do any of that?
I haven't. Yeah.
Are you a video game guy?
You know, I'm not.
You're a board game guy.
A little bit of a board game guy, yeah. And when I was playing video games, it was like the Atari 2600. No one plays with that, which was in Ready Player One, which I related to. But yeah, I'm not, I haven't really kept up with it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
No problem. And then, of course, hey, want to go even deeper to Rob Has a Podcast? Why not, David? Rob has a website.com/patron. Last night I did the 3+ hour patron cast conference call. Of course, I do a weekly show with the first lady of podcasting. We have the Facebook group. So many. We did a brand new Rehapisode this week, all about the genius. So lots of stuff at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Lots of bonus stuff for you guys if you check that out. Okay, David Wright, what else didn't we cover?
Oh my gosh. In terms of the episode or no, just
in terms of you?
Oh, in terms of me. Well, you know, hoping, I can't say too much about it right now, but I'm hoping, for really big things with, my
Survivor 38.
No, oh. No, not that. No. I would like to play again at some point, but, I'm nowhere near ready for that.
Okay.
No, I was actually talking about my, my animated pilot, which I know I've been talking about for years. I've gotten some good news, but not sure yet, waiting to hear. So, but you know, I'll be able to talk more about it, later on, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Anything else, in the world?
No, not till I'm going to run a Spartan race with Zeke.
Yes. Who would win in a Spartan race? You versus Zeke?
Well, you know, it's funny together. We're like a great Spartan,
duo.
Yeah, we are separately.
Can I do a Spartan race or I would die?
You could totally do a Spartan race. Yeah. You work out, right? I know you work out.
I exercise, but I'm not an athlete.
Well, all you really need, do you run?
No, not really.
Oh, you don't run? No. Well, that's a bit of an issue in a Spartan race.
I think I could. It's a short distance.
Yeah, no. yeah. No, but anyway, no, Zeke and I, we complement each other. Like, you know, my weaknesses are his strengths. His strengths are my weaknesses. So yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be in Big Bear.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, David, it's a pleasure to have you here.
So much fun being here.
Always a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you making the schlep out here. You're, so that's very appreciated.
Can I really quick, by the way, say hello to my girlfriend's mother, Lori?
Yes.
Lori, yeah.
You just did.
I did. Okay, great. Thank you.
Watching live?
Not watching live, probably, but listening. She listens. A big fan of Rehap. So there you go.
Okay. All right, shout out to Lori. thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Look forward to a lot of great stuff. And then the finale of Survivor Ghost Island is coming up but 3 weeks from tonight. We're in the real home stretch.
Yes, that's. I can't believe how fast this season's gone by. I love this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay. Who's your pick that's going to get duped by your idol?
Oh, God, that's a good question. Oh, let me look. Let's go with Seabass.
Yeah, that's the pick. Like, whoa, totally got a fake idol.
He's a nice guy. I met him, but yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah. It'd be fun for anyone to find him.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody, for checking out the show. We've got so much more coming up. Check out LaBelle's Lobsters. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.